The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing the show. Tom, has it been hot enough and humid enough for you this week? You love that humidity, don't you?
It has been humid enough when you're having a glass of ice water and the water is dripping off the side of the glass. That's something you don't usually see around here.
You don't usually see that in the desert. In Miami, maybe, yeah, but not here. Anyway, it is Friday, the 27th of July, 2018. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and all of our programs, well, all being the vast majority of shows we have done since January 2011, like 98% of them are available at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners include TucsonSentinel.com, and Dylan Smith is with us, editor and publisher of that fine online Tucson service. Dylan,
thank you.
Thank you very much for your service.
Great to be here.
Now in your, I'm going to say ninth year.
I think it's nine.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe so.
Ninth year. Also, our
I'm 98% sure it's nine.
Oh, 98%. Okay. Green Valley News, Sahorita Sun. Thank you to the folks down there, especially Dan Shear. The Tucson Media Group supports us. Their portfolio of Tucson-based publications includes the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Tucson's Chief of Police, Christopher Magnus, is with us. Chief Magnus, how are you?
I'm doing very well. It's a pleasure to be with you.
2.5 years into the job, so this kind of makes, you're kind of a veteran of Tucson summers, but even those that have been around, like myself, for 30-plus years, this seems to be a really tough one.
Yeah, does it ever really get easier? Because
I don't
think I've adapted to this yet, and
yeah.
I'm not sure it's going to happen.
Dylan was saying it's pretty bad this summer.
Oppressive. I mean, this heat's oppressive enough. I think it has a boot heel. It's really kicking me in the pants. The humidity is what's doing it. I mean,
yeah.
I can take the heat easily enough. But I wanted to ask the chief. I guess it would be both the police department and the fire department. Are you seeing sort of an extra wave from this heat of people who need some assistance?
I do think it presents some real cautionary situations that we have to watch out for. I know you probably saw the really awful situation that we had, I think just really day before yesterday, with the nursing, well, the elder care facility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually sort of a elderly care home where there were nine, where the air conditioning had been out for several days, as it turns
Whoa.
Out. And you have nine very, very elderly folks who were in temperatures of 103.6 when the fire department and police got there, and we had to get, you know, five of them to the hospital. Terrible situation. And those are the kind of things we really worry about, because there are a lot of folks that have issues with air conditioning and being able to stay cool. And of course, a lot of people who are outside due to homelessness and many issues. And this is the kind of heat that can really kill. So we have to really watch out for each other.
And domestic violence, this kind of heat doesn't help that situation either.
No, I think, in and of itself, it doesn't create domestic violence. But when you have already situations like there are in a lot of homes, where people are really not doing well with each other and where violence is part of the day-to-day equation, this weather does not help, because it puts people often in a situation where they're just angrier, where they feel like they're closer to that breaking point. And when you have, then you add alcohol, you add weapons, you get an explosive mix that we've already seen has resulted in a number of murders and some really awful situations.
There is a narrative out there that this is just not a safe community right now, and the police are just not available to come to people's aid. What's the truth when it comes to police response times, the staffing? Dig into that for us.
Yeah, that narrative's frustrating to me, and I get it if you had the impression, and for some folks who've lived here a very, very long time, I can understand this, but if you've had the impression that this is just a small town where, you know, there's really very little going on, and so why should you have to wait for police at all, and surely there's no problems of any magnitude throughout the city, you can leave things unlocked, et cetera, et cetera. That's just not an accurate narrative. We're the 31st, 32nd largest city in the country at this point, rapidly closing in on cities the size of Milwaukee and Baltimore. And we have big city problems. Now, they're a little different because, unlike a lot of cities, we have less of an urban core where things are concentrated. The problems are more geographically widespread, but that makes things more difficult for us in many ways because we have to respond across very, very wide distances. We now see growth on, really explosive growth on the what used to be the fringes of the city, that really where nobody lived. Now there are a lot of people who are living. And so we have, in many cases, great distances to go to get to calls. But, you know, that said, we have a response time to emergency calls that is still significantly lower than what people just accept as commonplace in many, many other cities. Our response time for priority one or emergency calls remains 5 to 6 minutes, obviously sometimes less if officers are right there close by to the address, sometimes perhaps a little more, but the average is 5 to 6 minutes. You look at a lot of other cities in this country, and they're happy if they can get it down from 15 to 8 minutes for those kind of calls. So again, it's relative to what you're used to, perhaps. And, you know, one of the things that we're trying to help our residents understand is that there are many calls that a police officer is not needed, that there are alternative ways to report crime. There are other, we can handle a lot of things over the phone if we're smarter. We've completely redesigned our website for reporting various kinds of low-level property crimes where there's no suspect, where you just basically need a number for your insurance company, but it still goes into the records so we know where to add our patrols.
For instance, if someone broke into or tried to break into your vehicle, they smashed a window to get into it, maybe took something out of the vehicle, that would be a case where they could go online and report that.
It would. Now, we're still, you know, we still try to give people as many options as possible, but folks do have to understand that if it's a particularly busy time where there are, for example, domestic violence calls, fights, things that involve really serious incidents that are a danger to the larger public, serious traffic crashes, etc., you may have to wait. If you want a police officer to come to your home for a situation like that, you may have to wait as long as several hours. I'm not happy about that. There are many cities where the police do not even go out for a wide range of crimes. We still try to be very responsive, but we're also using our community service officers significantly more. Those are our, they're civilian, they're professional staff, they're well-trained to process crime scenes, to come out to a lot of things, but that's great because then an officer isn't necessarily needed. We give people, again, more options to report things over the phone, online. The whole idea is that we have to recognize that we are a growing community and that police response is going to have to look a little bit different so that we can still keep people safe but adapt to the changing dynamics of the city.
How many calls for service are you rolling out on a daily basis?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head that number, but I can tell you that it's not significantly more than the past. What is different is that the length of time some of these calls require is a lot different. For example, one out of every six of our calls involves somebody in emotional or mental health crisis. Those are not calls that are just, you just show up and take care of something in 5 or 10 minutes and be on your way. You often, you know, we have a really outstanding response to mental health calls, and we have a lot of resources that cities around the country, frankly, are envious of and that are coming here to learn about. But all that said,
that's not the kind of call you take care of in 15 minutes.
That's right. And they don't involve just one officer. These can be really dangerous situations. Sometimes some of these calls even involve standoffs, barricaded subjects, and we're handling these really, really well. I mean, I have a really talented group of cops who are getting more training than ever to deal with some really complex situations, but this is part of the challenge. Obviously, if we have even one or two of those kind of calls that are going on, that can mean that some of the lower level, doesn't mean they're not important. I get that. And if it happens to you, it's very important. But we have to understand how we prioritize some of these things and give people different options for
reporting. Sort of what I'm getting at is you might be still sending officers to pick a number out of the air, 1,200 calls a day or, you know, whatever it might be. But how many more of what used to be a call is being, you know, reported online, or people are just shrugging their shoulders and not making any sort of contact with the police department at all?
We hope they're not doing that, and we're doing our best to get the word out that there are options available. For example, we're keeping all of our substations around town open into the evenings now, so that if people want to come down. You know, if it's like, okay, I don't want to wait an hour for a cop to come, but I can drive 5 minutes, be at a substation and talk to somebody, a live person at a front desk, I'll do that. That's an option. Now, that doesn't work for everybody. I get it. But you're right. The idea is we are seeing more calls being handled in alternative ways, and we want people to do that. We want them to call in. We're not trying to discourage that at all. In fact, that's one of the reasons we're putting so much work into updating and improving our communications center, which is a major work in progress. And still, there are a lot of challenges there. But we want people to be able to call in. We just need to be able to handle
things differently. When people are essentially resigned that, I shouldn't call the cops, they're not going to do anything, if that's their state of mind, and then there's no sort of report, it doesn't help you guys follow patterns of crime where things are happening. It doesn't help me as a reporter figure out what might be going on and, you know, where to critique you guys. And it certainly, I think, it doesn't help, you have critics out there. It doesn't really help them with having at least good information to criticize you with.
No, well, I'm not looking for more information to be criticized, and we get plenty of that right now. But no,
but you would want valid criticism.
No,
at least, right?
Totally, and there's always room for that. And you know, one of the things that we've done that I'm most happy about is we were able to bring on board finally, after a great deal of work, a really truly professional, highly trained crime analyst who can take, this is why we want people to call in. We need this data so we can look and then make good decisions about where do we need to deploy officers? Some areas, what are the trends that are happening with crime? What are some different, are there particular individuals that we need to pay more attention to? And we know that works because what we're seeing, and this is exciting, is in the first 6 months of this year compared to last year, our data shows a 20% decrease in burglaries. Now, that's just one area. I'm sure there's other crimes that have gone up. But that's really important. In fact, on the west side, one of the biggest areas of the city, we actually saw a 30% decrease. So I know that's not the narrative that some people are putting out there or that they believe, but that's what's going on.
That's a decrease in reports. Hopefully there aren't so many going unreported that you don't know about.
I hope that's true, but my guess is that, frankly, on most burglaries, people do want a report made. They want insurance.
They're that mad?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Speaking of calls, we've got quite a few calls, and I also am a little bit over on where we need to take a break. So Robert, Ingrid, and Roberta are all going to have to hold on the line. They've all got, I think, some pretty good questions. So we'll take our break right here, Tom, and then we will be back with Chief Magnus.
Get your tickets now for Arizona Wildcats football. Kevin Sumlin leads the program into a new era, and we want you to be part of it. Season tickets start at the new low price of $70 for all 7 home games. Flex packs, group tickets, and single game tickets are also on sale. The new era of Arizona football starts September 1st when the Wildcats take on BYU at Arizona Stadium. Get your tickets today at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
Tucson's spectacular thunderstorms are here. Tohonatiuh Park's Monsoon Madness plant sale is July the 27th and 28th, featuring access to the area's foremost plant experts about everything from agaves to herbs and adeniums to aloes. Come and see us at 7366 North Paseo del Norte, Friday, July the 27th from 3 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, July the 28th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Visit our website at tohonatiuhpark.org.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday during the noon hour, a Monday political face-off features commentators Vince Robigo and Jim Kelly, plus Pima County recorder F.N. Rodriguez is with us. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today, Chief of Police, Tucson, Arizona, Christopher Magnus. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. And Dylan, we have a very full board of people who would like to.
Eager callers.
Yes, they are. And they've waited quite a while. And so let's get right to it. Robert, go ahead.
Chief, first question, yes or no, just for time. Have I noticed new police cars on the street?
Yes.
They look bad. They look like great rides. I'm so happy they're in decent automobiles. Now, my question is, in a rear-ender on a main street like Broadway, is it really necessary? There's no injuries, there's no witness, and the cars are movable on under their own power. Is it really necessary to stand there in the middle of the street and attempt to call the police?
I'm so glad you asked this.
Would they have to call the police if they have no insurance?
No, I'm so glad you asked this question because, first of all, if it's just a property damage accident, people should go ahead and exchange information and contact their insurance companies. But we have a new resource in town that I'm very, very excited about, which is a collision reporting center, and it is open. You can get the exact hours on the website, but it's open even into the evening. And what happens is if you've been involved in a minor accident, All you need to do is drive over to our Midtown substation right there at 22nd and Alvernon, and they are in the lobby. This is a joint effort between the police department and a whole large group of insurance companies shepherded by a company out of Canada. Very nice folks. You'll even get the Canadian accent a little bit. And they will take that report. Mm-hmm. It'll get filed with your insurance company. They will even help you come out and take pictures of the vehicle if you need to. We can follow up if there's additional investigation that's required. But all the information is available on our website. They're open throughout the day into the evening, seven days a week.
10 o'clock, actually.
Yep. Right. And 7 days a week. Great resource, but you're exactly right. It is not necessary, you know, to block traffic. If you can drive the cars or move them off, that's the right way to go.
One thing that I think Robert started to touch on in that question is what do you do if one of the drivers doesn't have insurance?
So this is always a difficult situation for everybody, but the best thing is you get the information that you can. Ask to see somebody's driver's license. I get it. They don't always have that either. But you get, in many cases, people are still surprisingly honest. They'll tell you who they are, where they live, etc. Most insurance, if you have insurance, that's the important thing. And they often will, depending on your insurance company, but most understand what the circumstances are if the other party is not insured, even if they're the ones at fault. It's still, you know, you're welcome to call, but typically that may be a long wait depending on our call load, because that's just, you know, that would be a lower priority call.
And you do have these new vehicles, as Robert pointed out.
Yeah. So thanks to the voters again for Prop 101. I know a lot of folks were cynical, like, is this money really going to be spent on what we are hoping it is? Is the council going to divert it? And you can see, your eyes are not deceiving you. We have many more new vehicles. We still, you know, I'm not going to tell you our need is solved. There's still a lot of cops driving police cars that are way too old, but we are gradually getting the new Explorers out on the road. But it's not just Explorers. We have there's a lot of other equipment. You should see I feel like I saw what has to go into one of these vehicles in our fleet services unit, and it's like they're building something to go up into space. I mean, they got all the wiring, they take everything out and they rebuild it, and it is incredible, the level of equipment, the number of computers, the MDCs, it's really quite something. But all of that is equipment that we are now able to replenish thanks to Prop 101. And I got to tell you one other thing about that, because I'm very, very pleased with this. Our driving track, which is a multi-million-dollar operation out at our training academy, very important, because this is how police officers learn how to drive. We share it with others. Young people even have the chance to do some driver training out there through some insurance company sponsored programs. That has been completely refinished, resurfaced. That, again, a multi-million-dollar expenditure that was covered through Prop 101 funding. So that money is going where we promised it would, and that's great news.
Ingrid would like to return to the subject of mental illness. This is a big issue. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Yes, when the police department takes somebody down to, say, Banner, there are a lot of expenses incurred. The emergency room, for instance, is a very, very big deal. Then there are all kinds of tests and this and that. Does the police department pay those bills?
Well, so I just want, just to be clear, if we're talking about folks with mental health who often do require an evaluation, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes not, we're very lucky here in Tucson because we have a crisis response center, the CRC, that is one of the best service providers really in the country for folks with mental health. Officers can drop individuals off. And frankly, the drop-off time is generally about 10 to 11 minutes. And that's funded through insurance, through money that comes from Medicaid expansion, the REBA, they call it in this state. And that really allows us to get help to a lot of people that need it. But unlike a lot of jurisdictions around the country, frankly, several that I used to work for, we don't have to sit in an emergency room for hours and hours and take up space there and incur expenses that are hard to get paid for. We can get those folks directly into a facility. Dr. Margie Balfour and her team run that crisis response center, and it is truly one of the best facilities of its type in the nation. So we are very, very fortunate here.
But that's not that. The hospital bills are not a line item for the police department.
They are not. Yeah. No, that's something that they go back through a normal insurance process. Yeah. Correct.
Okay, let's go to the next call. Let's go to Roberta. Hi, Roberta.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Chief Magnus. I have a quick comment and a quick question.
Go ahead.
I have no complaint. I just want to share that I'm from a very big city, and I can remember getting flyers in the mail saying that the police stations were so strategically located that they could be anywhere in the city within 2 minutes. And my question is, what is the non-emergency phone number for the police department for people needing to ask a non-emergency question?
Okay.
So, Roberta, you're going to embarrass me because off the top of my head, I don't know that, but we can get that, I'm sure, and put it out to you. And, you know, we have done a lot of work recently. There was a report on one of the local TV stations that was very critical of our non-emergency number and said that it just ended up giving you the runaround and phone trees that went on forever and ever. And so we, you know, like a lot of things, I don't think that was ever anybody's intention, but we had just been paying so much attention to 911 that we did not put the same attention into the non-emergency number that we should have. So we went back and we have completely overhauled that to ensure that calls get to the right places. There's still a phone tree. It's much shorter. On the old one, I think I fell asleep or went into a coma before it ended, so we knew it was bad. So we've put a lot of work into overhauling that. We'll get that number. I also know it is on our website.
Yeah, we're going to have that for
791-4444.
See, I should know that. I'm embarrassed, but thank you, Dylan. I knew
it's on your website.
I knew it was out there, so thank you for
you
that.
Bet.
All right. Chief, we've got a couple more minutes with you, and I want to talk about staffing. We have not talked about the numbers of officers who are now in the department, and there are more coming. So why don't you give us an update on that?
Yeah, this has been a tough one for us because, like departments all over the country, we have really struggled with staffing. And then we made a shift where there was an early retirement incentive for folks who were in supervisory and command positions because, frankly, we had more, we had more managers than we had line-level folks, and we needed to shift that around. So we have now roughly 800 deployable sworn personnel, and then we have another 60, give or take, in the training pipeline, which means they're somewhere in the process. They've been hired, but they still have to go through either the academy or the field training officer program. Our goal, of course, is to get that much higher. We have greatly improved how quickly we can process new applicants. Our upcoming police academies, both the one that's just started is full, and we have an October academy that's already looking like it's going to fill up. Bill, I can tell you, when I first got here, I went to one of our, we have a regional academy, and I went to one of our graduations, and I was surrounded by chiefs and sheriffs from other places, and I looked, and we had 3 Tucson officers graduating from our own academy. Completely unacceptable. Now we're ranging between 20 and 30 officers. And that, I mean, it's really exciting. It is. And we also, as you know, recently through the city council's help, were able to adjust pay level to retain more of our officers who are leaving for other departments. Now, that's not the total solution. I get it. Morale involves a lot more things than just pay. But I will tell you that we have 7 officers who are returning to TPD after leaving for other agencies. And I think that speaks to, sometimes the grass isn't greener on the other side, but
They're
coming back. They're seeing that we're doing a lot of innovative things here, that this is a department that's doing that really does care about serving the community in a lot of creative ways. They have the chance to explore a lot of different things career-wise. When you have a bigger agency, you can do more things. So I'm not being critical of any other department. They're all great, and we're lucky we have great agencies around us. But it's very exciting to see the number of, we even have a lateral police academy that we're starting up, which is all officers from other departments. And I think it's a slow process, but we're going to get there. We're going to grow to where we need to be.
So you've got 60 officers in the pipeline at various spots right now.
Yes.
What is the attrition rate looking like these days? You have people who move, you know, perhaps, you know, out of the state, even not just to a different department here locally,
but
people who, you know, they put in their time in retiring. You're going to have that steady turnover, right?
Yeah. So historically, and this is typical for any department our size, we've averaged about six officers a month an attrition rate of six officers a month. Those are people typically who are retiring. Maybe they are leaving because of disability or injury, or in some cases, even because of disciplinary reasons. Okay. That's typical. I got to live with that. I don't like it, but that's the way it is. What was happening over the last couple of years was we were moving slowly into eight officers a month. That extra two was what I think of as dysfunctional attrition, because that extra two were people who were leaving for other agencies or going into other similar career paths, but, you know, they're still in the prime, you know, they're young people and they're going other places.
So that wasn't baby boomers hitting the end of their career.
The council really stepped up after we made an issue of this, and we said, we got to deal with this excessive attrition, these extra two. And that's what that targeted pay increase is all about, plus a lot of the other things we're doing to try to show that this is a great place to work. It's not perfect. We have our challenges, but you're going to get incredible amount of experience, exposure to different things, a lot of terrific, caring, smart coworkers, outstanding training. And it's too early to say, has that shifted the tide? But because the pay increase just went into effect this month. But I think the fact that seven officers are coming back is a good sign. And then, you know, we're going to see, we're doubling down on this as a priority.
Something we chatted a little bit during the break that I think people out there would be interested in. You were talking about how the number of traffic tickets you're writing is changing.
It's gone up. And, you know, of course, if you're one of the lucky folks who received one of these, that's not good news.
Here's your prize.
Yeah, exactly. But we are making many more traffic stops, and we are writing more tickets. And that's appropriate, because what we're seeing on the street, on the roads in the city, is completely unacceptable. The driving, there's too much speeding, there's too much improper lane usage, there's reckless. The number of DUIs, and we've seen some terrible tragedies. I mean, we just had a couple deaths, two deaths last night related to traffic crashes. This, you know, enforcement has to be a piece of that. It can't be the total answer to the problem. We've got to look at engineering. We've got to look at education, prevention. But tickets are a component to this.
So is that from cops working targeted traffic control, or are you having more officers who are going about their daily business, just pulling somebody over because they see somebody being a lousy driver?
So both.
Yeah.
I continue to be super fortunate in that I have an outstanding group of motor officers. I don't know how they do that, how they do it in this heat. I see that and I just think how
driving
this is, wow. It's impressive.
Yeah.
And also just navigating a motorcycle in and out of Tucson traffic is not easy. But so there is targeted work that's being done. We've applied for and received several state grants, which help us with some of that, particularly around DUI enforcement, but also other things. But then what I really like to see is there are more officers who are just assigned to a sector. And in that sector, maybe on their way to a call, they see an egregious violation or they want to take action, and they're doing it. And I appreciate that.
I think
most people do.
Chief, we're just about out of time, but there had been that rumor. It was all over social media about a firefighter was attacked by a machete and no police officers responded to that.
Yeah, this is one of the challenges of social media. Things kind of take on a life of their own. Look, we have great partners in the fire department, and our goal of course, I mean, my goodness, is to keep them safe. There are occasionally times where communication isn't perfect, but I will just say with that, because I don't think we really even have time to get into the details, but that situation was not the way it was portrayed. There was more to the story, as they say. But look, we firefighters have a very tough job too, and our goal is to help them out whenever they're dealing with an emergency. We appreciate the way they work with us. This really has to be a team effort around public safety, and we're getting smarter and smarter about how we work together, even on dealing with folks who call police and fire all the time, and maybe there's some strategies to deal with them,
yeah,
or mental health patients or others. You know, it has to be a team effort, and we have a really good team here in Tucson.
Okay, and officers are wearing cameras.
They are. Almost our entire force is outfitted with body-worn cameras, which means, you know, that's good for us, especially if there are incidents where we really want to look back and somebody says, oh, something went down one way, and, you know, the officer's like, no, I don't think it quite happened like that. We can see.
You had your own little experience with that.
I did, and I think at least that actually came to my benefit, right? Because the rumor when I got pulled over was somehow that I pulled some power play card, and, you know, and of course I would never behave that
way. Well, you don't need to jump out and say, do you know who I am?
I would hope not.
He kind of knows who you are.
I would hope not. But,
all right. Chief, thank you very much for
thanks.
Telling us what's going on. Appreciate
it. Hey, it's
it very
a pleasure.
Much.
Thank you so much for having me.
This portion of our program presented by my favorite bakery in town. Dylan, you know what it is.
Would that be Mona's?
It is. Mona's All Danish right. Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Great time to go by Mona's right now if you're up there in the foothills and you want a great sandwich. That bread came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. Steve, the owner, gets up with his bakers at some incredible early hour and making sure that bread is just ready for you when you come by for the sandwich. Have one of those great brownies that I love for dessert. Mona's, their website is available at my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's and all of our great sponsors. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. be informed, and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we have a very abbreviated reporters roundtable session. Tom, what do we've got about 5 minutes, something like that, before we go to our weekend watch? But you know, Dylan, sometimes being the host of the show, I can kind of make those decisions. There's a lot that we needed to talk about, and I think we did talk quite a bit with the police chief about some of these issues.
Yeah, and it's certainly, I think, you know, something that is important to people. They might not be thinking about it on a daily basis, but if you bring it up, everybody's got an opinion about the police department.
Yep.
And what's going on. And
yep.
like even just the little factoid we got up about traffic enforcement, you know, with more tickets being written.
I didn't know that. I didn't know burglaries are down 20%. And then there are specific areas, I think.
30% on the west side.
30%. And we also, about the body cameras, I didn't know that most of the officers now have them. One area we didn't get.
So don't look like an idiot when you get pulled over, because you are being taped.
Smile. You're on candid camera. But there was another area that we ran out of time to talk about. The chief was telling me before the show, they have all of this simulation stuff now that officers that they go through in simulation training, mm-hmm. about diffusing a certain situation, like how do you know who the bad guy is? All of that stuff now, it's like airline pilots go and they have these simulators. Well, they have that now for police, too.
Then it's a big step beyond, you know, just being out at the gun range and having various targets flip in front of you, and you have to quickly decide who to shoot and who not to shoot. It's much more involved in, as you said, about you know, trying to get so you never get to that point where you have to decide whether to shoot or not.
Right.
You want to have things be as calm and relaxed, and you know, I think cops don't like to do paperwork just as much as the rest of us hate to do paperwork, and you know, the more calm and relaxed you can have a situation be, the less things you have to write about it.
We have the early ballots. I think they're going to be mailed out when, Dylan? Maybe today?
No.
They have to wait.
They have to wait until their voter registration deadline.
Okay.
They'll start to go out, I believe, late next week. The voter registration deadline, if you want to take part in the primary election, Election Day is August 28th, but you need to get yourself signed up by midnight on Monday, July 30th. And you want to make sure, even if you've been signed up for a while, just go and go to the Pima County Recorder's website, and you can you know, provide your name and driver's license number, and just make sure your address is right and that you are all squared away and ready to cast your ballot. You can ask for an early ballot if you want to get one through mid-August, I think August 17th, and you can call them up and they will send you one. You can fill it out at your leisure at home.
How about this question for you, Dylan? Who is eligible to vote in a primary? Can independents vote?
Yes, that's a very good question.
It
and
is.
If you are not registered with a political party, you can request the ballot of a political party to vote in. So if you're you know, what most people call an independent, you can ask to cast a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot or a Green ballot or a Libertarian ballot. You can decide which party you want to. It's not like the presidential preference election, which caused a little bit of confusion because that is a closed primary and only registered party members can take part. In this one, in the congressional and state and local primaries, pretty much everybody has a chance to cast a ballot if they are signed up by the deadline, which is Monday night.
Okay, and the movement in independence continues to be where the growth is, right, in the registration?
It bounces around a little bit. I mean, you know, over the past decade, the number of people who are choosing to not be aligned specifically with a political party has increased. You know, generally, what we, you know, what the recorder calls a party not designated, PND voters, they end up, you know, being, you know, they regularly choose whether, you know, the people who are somewhat conservative independents, you know, they align themselves with the Republicans, the liberals align themselves with the Democrats. Mm-hmm. It's not too many people who are in the middle. And they should note that you can't pick and choose which races you're going to vote for. You need to pick one party's ballot. You can't decide, oh, I want to vote for the Republican Senate primary and the Democratic congressional primary. It doesn't work like that.
Dylan, at TucsonSentinel.com, you've got a new column, Political Chatter, is that right?
Yeah, it's about some political chatter. It's, you know, the kind sort of thing that...
rumors, not
well, it's
rumors.
The, it's the things that...
Factually based.
The things that we reporters laugh about sometimes when we're having a beer. You know, just pulling out those interesting little details that might not make it into the, you know, the top line of a normal news story. It's called El Chisme, The Rumor. And, you know, some interesting little tidbits. One of those in the inaugural column was congressional candidate Billy Kovacs has become outstanding in unpaid parking tickets.
Unpaid parking tickets. All right, Billy. All right, Dylan.
He says he's taking care of that right
okay.
away.
Okay, Dylan, thank you very much. We'll look for your work at TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell is next. We're going to see what Matt's three top picks are. And Weekend Watch right after this.
Get your tickets now for Arizona Wildcats football. Kevin Sumlin leads the program into a new era, and we want you to be part of it. Season tickets start at the new low price of $70 for all seven home games. Flex packs, group tickets, and single game tickets are also on sale. The new era of Arizona football starts September 1st when the Wildcats take on BYU at Arizona Stadium. Get your tickets today at ArizonaWildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie, and of course, Weekend Watch brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. When the temperature hits over 100 degrees here, it's always nice to think about Silver City and where the temperature. Dylan Smith is with me here in studio. Dylan, just by the very nature over in Silver City, 7,000 feet, knock 10 degrees off, right?
I would say maybe even maybe a couple more.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even 15,
pushing 15, maybe
10, 15 degrees. Anyway, go to Silver City and Grant County, their great website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete listing of the many great places to stay. Let's welcome now Matt Russell back from the beach. How are you, buddy?
Well, alas, I'm okay. back from the beach, yes, we have to come home sometime, but the rain is in the forecast, and we celebrate every single drop, don't we, Bill?
Oh, we certainly do. What's this about Peruvian Independence Day and how the dedicated foodies will be celebrating?
Of course, it's time again to commemorate that big day. It was in 1821 when José de San Martín and his crew liberated Peru from Spain. It's Peruvian Independence Day weekend, and there will be dancing and dining and drinking Peruvian style tonight and tomorrow night at Inca's Peruvian Cuisine on Sunrise and Kolb. The fiesta gets underway at about 6 p.m. both nights with food and drink specials and live music from Grupo Tradiciones and the Pisco Sours, of course, will be flowing all night long. You'll hear the shouts of salud in surround sound this weekend at Inca's. Viva Peru, Bill!
Yeah, there you go. The Pisco Sours, and of course, for those that want more of a traditional kind of a drink, how about some wine, Arizona style?
Sure. We've talked a lot about the Arizona wine scene on Weekend Watch over the years, and tomorrow you'll get a chance to meet some industry celebrities when Arizona Wine Collective in St. Philip's Plaza hosts their next Meet the Winemaker event. So it's from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow, and the winemakers from Golden Rule Vineyards in Cochise County will be on hand to kind of chat about their wines, pour some of their showstoppers, and share a little bit about what's making news from their vineyards situated along the eastern edge of the Gunnison Hills. You know, these events are so much fun, and I say what a treat to sip some of the wines with the people that actually made them. So much fun.
We have such great Mexican cuisine in this town, don't we?
Yeah, you bet. And all I have to say is all-you-can-eat tacos. Did I get your attention,
there
Bill?
You go.
Dylan, are you with us?
Yes.
All you can
where,
eat tacos.
When, and yeah.
Dylan perked up with that one.
It's right. It's Taco Palooza, and it's happening on Sunday from 4 to 9:30 p.m. at Rolly's Mexican Patio on South 12th Avenue. And for just $20, you'll enjoy unlimited tacos from an impressive spectrum of styles and flavors prepared by the hands of the folks who know what good tacos are all about. They had me at unlimited, Bill, and I know I'll see many of my fellow Tucson Taco Titans there on Sunday for Taco Palooza.
Isn't it true you've judged a few taco eating contests in your time?
This is not a joke. I actually am an accredited taco judge by the National Taco Association. You can't make this stuff up, Bill. So I have gone through through rudimentary training, the boot camp for taco lovers. Yes, I do a lot of taco judging, and I look forward to my next competition, whenever that'll be.
There you go. Have a great weekend, Matt. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Guys.
All right, the Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks, Tom Fairbanks, another great job on the other side of the glass. All of the people here, the support people who do such a great job for us on the Buckmaster Show at KVOI. And Dylan, I can thank you because you're here in studio with me.
You bet.
Have a good weekend.
We have to wait till Sunday for those tacos, right?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Have a great weekend.